Welcome to the Willie Jackerson Experiment. I'm your host, the one, the only, Willie Jackerson. All right, so I have a great episode for you. I decided to cover this latest thing that's been in the news and try to kind of get to the bottom of it to see if this is just some kind of a weird myth. But there was this whole thing about all these Teslas that weren't able to charge because of the freezing cold. And there's other people out there that have said that there's certain things that you have to do to like set your batteries up or something. So I want to kind of go through that. It's been really controversial running around social media. So I figured I'd try to get to the bottom of it. See if maybe those people just did something wrong is why they didn't charge, or if there is some kind of a defect for like not being able to charge in the lower temperatures and stuff. So I really appreciate everyone every week joining. It just means a lot. Everyone's checking it out, and I always have fun doing these. I'm gonna try to find some audio. So there's a lot of people that's been saying that this is kind of like a government thing that's kind of going wrong, like incentive wise and stuff. So I'm going to kind of try to look around and see what I could find for some pretty sweet audio to try to get to the bottom of what this actually is. Is it just people overreacting? Is it people that were not trained on how to deal with a colder situation and how to charge it correctly or what? Because you know, all these people were stranded, so it was kind of a big deal over in Chicago. So I'm going to kind of get to the bottom of that, try to see what's going on. And then, of course, I'm going to try to find some metal that goes along with this topic. And, you know, like I say, I'm an electrician, and so it's almost a good thing to have electric vehicles. But I think where I kind of have the downside to it is where it might cause problems on our infrastructure, on our grid. I know a lot of people have shown where there's like a massive Christmas light displays and stuff that are, you know, powering a whole entire, you know, 200 amp service just to power their lights and stuff. So then they're saying, well, that wouldn't matter on an EV, but you know, you got to think that's a seasonal thing where you might do it for, you know, 30 days out of the year versus, you know, adding two dryer loads to your whole entire demand for like the whole year. So it's going to be interesting kind of what I come up with on this one, just to take a look at it and see. I'll try to kind of cover all the different aspects and make sure that I get the most level sided argument, so that, you know, I'm not just coming out with a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't really pertain to like this argument. But I really appreciate everyone joining every week. Don't forget to check out the Willie's Mile High Metal playlist on Spotify, and check out all the new songs that keep coming in every week. And hopefully we will have a new song for this week. So thanks for joining. And remember, make every day an easy day. Peace.
We will make America metal again. Thank you.
God bless you, everybody. Thank you very much.
Don't tread on
me.
Don't tread on me.
Liberty or death,
what we so proudly
hail,
once you provoke her,
rattling
of her tail never begins it.
Never, but once engaged,
never surrenders.
Showing
the tank of rage. Oh, no, 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 no!
I said don't tread on
me. So be yet threat
no more. To secure peace is too prepared for war.
So be yet
settled
the score.
Touch me again
for the words that you will hear evermore. Hey!
Don't tread on
me.
Right now, President Biden's economic policy has been, to say the least, interesting while he's been in office. On June 9th, President Biden announced a new program to require EV charging stations every 50 miles on federal highways by 2030 and pledged $5 billion to help make it happen. This, I think, is great. However, it makes no sense right now and hangs the people who are really struggling out to dry. Inflation is insane right now, and gas prices are getting close to being downright unaffordable. A week after the EV announcement, Biden took action to combat high gas prices and called on U.S. oil refining companies to increase throughput, which he says would decrease prices. U.S. refineries are already operating above 90% utilization, which will most certainly increase even further throughout the summer as refining crack spreads improve. Further, why would they take on expensive expansion projects when they've been alienated by President Biden and have no incentive to? And considering the top demographic of EV owners are middle-aged white men earning over $100,000 a year with a college degree or better and already having one other vehicle, it really feels like he's clueless as to who really needs his help right now.
Everywhere in America's cold. Do what I do. Layer up. Long sleeve shirt, vest, shell, jacket. But if you really want to stay warm, don't drive a Tesla. The freezing temps are zapping the juice out of electric cars, leaving drivers stranded. In Chicago, a little cold weather turned a supercharging station into an expensive junkyard.
Oh, we got a bunch of dead robots out here.
Dead robots. Dead Teslas packed the parking lot at this Tesla supercharging station in Oak Brook, a scene mirrored at other supercharging stations around the Chicago area.
Man, this is crazy. It's a disaster, seriously.
With temperatures falling into the negative double digits, these charging ports have stopped charging, leaving many Tesla owners stranded here in long lines since Sunday.
Oh, it's a Tesla graveyard. If you bought an electric car, you're praying for global warming. Now, if you want to buy electric, do your thing. I don't care. But know what you're getting yourself into. I like reliability. I know there's a gas station around the bend, and I know my car won't turn into an icicle. Kevin Sumrock owns a frozen electric Audi. Kevin, what happened to the Audi?
Well, really, the Audi ran out of charge because the chargers weren't operating correctly when I was up in Chicago, returning from a much-needed vacation, which obviously didn't end well when I got back. So the car's fine. We did get it charged. I was able to pick it up tonight and get it back home. But, you know, I think this really comes down to the charging systems and the infrastructure, and it's less on the vehicles and more just are we ready for, you know, this consumer adoption that, you know, may or may not be ahead of us. I guess we'll see.
So, Kev, you're driving back from vacation, much needed, and you pull into this charging station to get your Audi EV juiced up, and the whole place is a snowball and nothing works. What'd you think at that second?
Well, I was frustrated, and, you know, quite honestly, it wasn't the first time it's happened. you know, there's been many times where a number of the charging stations aren't operational, either credit card readers aren't working or just some of them are malfunctioning for different reasons. But, you know, it's something that really has to get worked out because it's an ongoing issue. And it's not just when it's cold, it's also when it's warm. So there's a lot of questions around infrastructure that we're going to have to figure out and get fixed.
So when are you trading in your EV for something internal combustion.
Yeah. Well, I have another car.
Okay.
And it's a nice engine.
You have a bumper sticker that says on your Tesla, "My other car works."
My other, yeah, you could say that. The other car works. I do, however, love the Audi. I love the EV. The experience is great with that car. This is just one of those setbacks that, you know, I think, unfortunately, is not going to bode well for, you know, the manufacturers of EVs. And like I said, we have to get it figured out if we're going to continue with consumer adoption and even into the commercial segment, which I actually work in, and really does, you know, it has me very concerned about that segment.
I would be too. Kevin, listen, if this happens again with your electric car, you just walk around the side of the road, stick your thumb up. I'll pick you up. You seem like a nice guy.
Sounds good, Jesse. That's thanks for having me.
Thank you, Kev.
Hey, Sean Hannity here. Hey, click here to subscribe to Fox News YouTube page and catch our hottest interviews and most compelling analysis. You will not get it anywhere else.
Ladies and gentlemen, Metal Mouse. Evan K. Blue Lightning.
it's the most expensive brick on the block. When a Tesla can't charge in the cold weather, it is referred to by some owners as having become bricked, which is to say that it is as lifeless and useless as one. In Chicago, temperatures this week dropped as low as -9 degrees. Some owners were abandoning them at charging stations to be later towed away. This would seem to be a major impediment to the EV future imagined by President Biden, who says he wants 50% of all new vehicle sales to be electric by 2030. To help us understand whether this really is an existential problem for those goals, we're joined by Jenny Newman. She's editor-in-chief of Cars.com. So, why are the electrical vehicles having problems? Is it something having to do with the vehicles or the owners of the vehicles?
I think it could be a little bit of both. I think as an owner, if you're going to buy an EV, you need to realize, of course, that there's a bit of a learning curve with owning an EV. You need to be thinking about things like cold weather and its impact on your battery or your range. It's going to impact your range by as much as 40%. So that is significant, and you need to understand how to counteract that in the winter.
And is it damaging the batteries, or is it just that they drain faster or don't? What's the key problem that people need to be knowing about?
Well, you know, when it's cold out, of course, even with your cell phone, think about that. You're going to see some battery drain in that weather. And, you know, if you have an EV with a range of 250 miles, you in the winter could probably expect to see about 150 miles. It's not damaging the battery per se, but this is a known issue. And, you know, again, planning is a really important component of EV ownership. And I would also argue that charging at home is, I think, as this situation in Chicago has shown, really key to ownership.
What about regular cars? If it's that cold, you know, well below zero, is everything going to go just fine with an old-fashioned gasoline car?
Well, you're not going to see the huge degradation in, you know, your range, but we do know that gas vehicles are about 5% less efficient in the cold weather. So there is a smaller issue there. And I think anyone who's experienced, you know, horrible winters in the Midwest or anywhere else across the country knows that you can be plagued by dead batteries in your gas-powered vehicle just as frequent, you know, just as much as anyone else. So it definitely is an issue there.
And what about in Norway? Because in Norway, don't they own, it's cold and they have a lot of electric vehicles in Norway. So have they got it figured out, or do they do something special in Norway we should all be doing?
Well, I think Norway is maybe where we want to be in 10 years. So they've been working on this a lot longer. They have a lot more public charging. And I think they're an example that shows that you can have an EV and make it through the winter, you know, without serious issue. I think that should be the gold star that we're all pointed toward as we think about, you know, moving toward more EVs across the country.
And is that what would mitigate this problem, which is that if there were a bunch more charging stations, you wouldn't have the long lines and cars running out of power or it taking so long because you just take the time to charge, not take the time to wait in line to charge?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, right? It's kind of chicken and egg. So we definitely need more public charging. And as we see more and more EVs on the road, in fact, in 2023, EVs accounted for 8% of new car sales. So it's definitely increasing. You're seeing more people at public charging stations. The other side of it, of course, is that if you're charging at home, you don't need to rely on a public charging station. So that takes that out of the equation. Perhaps you only use public charging for road trips, for instance. One other thing to consider, of course, as an EV owner is really knowing your car. You're going to be able to charge much more efficiently if you do something that's called preconditioning your battery. So that is getting it up to the right temperature, or in extreme heat, getting it cooling it down to the correct temperature for optimal charging at these DC fast charging stations. So that's a really important component. And I think for a lot of people, if they were already limping along on low battery reserves, they probably didn't have enough battery to support that preconditioning. So, it, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. Again, EV ownership, there's a little bit of a learning curve for shoppers to consider.
And many of them are moving along that curve as we speak. Jenny Newman, editor-in-chief of Cars.com. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You see the Netta Vs and the BYDs and the bigger brands that you see huge amounts of them just parked out to rot. Well, you see, that's because they need the numbers. In order to get subsidies from the government, in order to put out the sales figures that they've sold more than Tesla and that they're in leading in EV production and EV sales, they need to have these fake sales. So BYD themselves will register them and put them on the market and then claim that they've been sold. And then, of course, they've got all those excess cars and they just stick them in a field and...
You can make history tomorrow.
But there's a bigger problem. There are even more car graveyards. And that has to do with a stupid investment scheme. Let me explain. In China, very often you get these fly-by-night investment schemes. Someone comes up with a good idea, like bicycle sharing, for instance. And guess what? People jump on the bandwagon. They raise a bunch of investment capital. They start a company. We saw it go absolutely crazy with the shared bicycle schemes. We covered this on the China show, where we showed these mountains of bicycles that had been discarded because the companies knew that if they pumped these bikes out, they'd keep getting investment. So they just kept pumping them out, even when it wasn't financially viable, because like a Ponzi scheme, you just keep getting your investment money in. And all of these bike companies pretty much shut down except for two. And a lot of the people that started these bike companies ran away with the investment money, never to be seen again. The bicycle sharing schemes kind of came to an end in late 2018. And then suddenly, and because the bicycle sharing investment scheme had now disappeared, people stepped in with a new investment scheme for shared vehicles. And this time it was for electric cars. Now there's this fantastic video, which I'm going to link below in the description. You can see it in the background here. But there's a documentary filmmaker who went and took drone footage of the shared bikes. And he made this video called No Place to Place in 2018, where he showed all of these massive mountains of the shared bike failures. But he then went in 2019 to film the fields of abandoned electric vehicles. So this is No Place to Place 2. And what you're seeing are these fields of shared cars. You see, the idea like shared bicycles would be that you have an app. And if you need a car, you can look in your app and see, oh, there's a shared car nearby, a shared electric vehicle. And you go and you unlock it with your app and you can drive to your destination and then lock it again. It's actually a very nice idea. It's not a bad idea at all. But of course, because it's all a money grab and it's a ridiculous scheme and a Ponzi scheme type situation in China, they just pump these things out without doing proper market research, without actually seeing if it was viable or not. And so the end result is fields and fields of thousands of hundreds of thousands of abandoned vehicles that are now going to rot. Now, this is where it gets insidious. These cars are electric vehicles, and that means they have batteries in them. So not only have you created a lot of waste by developing cars that are not going to be used and that are going to be left to rot, I mean steel and glass and liquids and chemicals and all the rest that goes into it, but the batteries. Everybody knows that these electric batteries that are used in electric vehicles are incredibly complicated and require a lot of very dangerous mining and chemical processes to create. There are human rights atrocities attached to making these batteries, if you want to look into it, child labor, slave labor, that kind of thing. But the detriment to the earth in mining all of these chemicals and all of the materials needed to create these electric vehicle batteries is just insane. So now you've created all of this environmental damage to make these cars, and then you just let them rot in a field. And of course, now they're going to create even more environmental damage because they're going to sit there for however long with all of these chemicals and batteries in them and all the rest of it. And they're going to pollute the environment further. So it's like a double whammy. Not only have you damaged the environment making them, but now you're damaging the environment by discarding them. And this is where China tricks everyone. You see, you hear about their great green initiatives, this being one of them. Oh, look, China's really pushing forward in renewable energy and electric cars. And if you just read headlines and you look at the numbers, etc., you would think China's doing a very good job. But what you're not seeing is the fact that China is actually destroying the earth at a rate never before seen. So you have to look past the facade, and people still don't seem to get this. China is an opaque country. They block all of this information from the rest of the world. You would not be able to just see this. If a company does something like this in the West, You bet your bottom dollar there's going to be a lot of eyes on it. A lot of big news outlets will cover this. There will be, heads will roll. People will have to reply to this. The companies would have to pay some kind of a fine for damaging the environment or for doing bad things like this, like an oil spill or something like that. We know that there are ways to deal with these things, but because we don't see these things in China, nothing gets done. These massive fields of electric cars just sit there rotting. China's green technology initiatives that you keep hearing about are mostly bullshit and a smokescreen to hide the fact that they're doing all sorts of environmental crimes. And remember, it's all about turning a profit. It's not about saving the environment or anything like that. It's a propaganda push and it's a money grab. They want your investment. They'll say, hey, look, invest in China, invest in these green initiatives. You feel good, you go and invest your money. It's being used for wasteful projects like this that really damage the earth. So think twice before investing in China. And if you want to find out more about what's going on in China, and I'm talking about up-to-date, down-to-the-wire news, events, and everything else in between, come and join me for the China Show on Friday. This is my live show that I do with my business partner, Lawa86, where we cover what's new in China, the soft power hour, the Wu Maos, the haters, the everything else. It's fantastic. It's a lot of fun. It's comedic, serious, and everything in between. So I hope to catch you there on Friday. And until next time, you know the drill, as always. Unlike wasteful Chinese EV companies and all this other nonsense, stay awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have a band called Clutch take you out with their song called Electric Worry. Hope you guys have a great week. Peace.
Well, you made me weep, and you made me moan. Well, you caused me to leave, child, my happy home. But someday, baby, you ain't worry my life anymore. We'll be right back. gotta have me a woman, yeah, on every road. But someday, baby, you ain't worry my life anymore.